To Want a Boy. Chapter 4. One evening, early the next spring, I called Bob from a pay booth on the outskirts of town. I always called on the way in so he could meet me at the warehouse. The phone rang a long time before he answered it. His voice was full of irritation. "Hello," he almost yelled. "Hi, I'm in town," I answered. "So?" A long pause, and then, "I'm sorry, Bert. I was in the shower." "That's okay. Can you meet me at the warehouse?" A pause. "You still there?" I asked. "Yes," he answered finally. "Bert, I can't see you this weekend. I have an important contact to make, and if things work out, it may get me into the movies."
"Swell. I understand." I fought to keep the disappointment from showing.
"Bert," his voice sounded far away.
"Yeah," I answered. "I may not be able to see you for a long time.
This man wants to make it an exclusive arrangement." His voice was full of hesitation.
"I see," I almost whispered, and my world began to fade.
"I've thought about you so much. I just can't cut it off. I'll leave you a note at the warehouse as soon as I figure out how to see you, but in the meantime, I have a close friend. I've told him so much about you."
"Thanks anyway," I began, rushing to stop his suggestion. "I'll just grab a load and head east tonight."
"No. No, Bert, do as I tell you. This guy is no whore. He ain't gonna charge you nothing. Listen, I'll call him. You go on to the warehouse and he'll come get you. His name is Carl. Please at least meet him. Bert?"
"I don't know," I said thoughtfully. "Why should I?"
"Because you need him, Bert, and he's been wanting to meet you for a long time."
"I don't see why," but he interrupted me.
"Shit, Bert, do I have to spell it out? You got the biggest goddamn prick I ever saw. I don't want to lose touch with it. Though Carl, through Carl, I'd always know where you were."
His words angered me at first. I knew he had plenty of customers, and I knew he used me for his own purposes, but I had thought there was a little more between us than just my cock. Desperately, I tried to crowd a week's thinking and reasoning into a few short seconds. I detested being used. I was being led about by the yin-yang, and I knew it. However, the thought of returning to the colorless existence I had known before I met Bob was equally unbearable, and I knew that I could never make overt advances to another man. Bob was the only man who'd ever made an advance toward me. Would I ever meet another on my own? His proposition sounded like he was renting me out, turning me into a whore just like him. There could be no happiness in a relationship where I could not respect myself.
"No thanks," I said finally, and a pain settled deep in my gut. "Bert, listen to me. I know what you need."
Bob's voice filled with urgency. "No, you don't, Bob. You really have no idea what I need." My voice was a deep, whispered monotone. "Goodbye, and lots of good luck." As I hung up the receiver, I could hear him still trying to sell me a bill of goods.
"Listen, let me meet."
Click. I drove the last 20 miles to the warehouse and backed my rig up to the loading dock. I cut the engine, gathered up my clipboard and paperwork, and climbed out of the cab. The boys already had the doors open. "Get with it today, will ya?" I told the dispatcher. "I went out of here just as soon as possible."
"I haven't got anything going your way yet, Bert," he said as he ran his finger down the call board.
"How about north?" I asked. "Got one to Seattle, Washington," he read from the board.
"I'll take it," I said firmly.
"Hey, you are in a rush. You run over someone or something?" He looked worried. "No, I had someone try to run over me." "Tell him to get the lead out, will ya?" And I headed for the can. The boys were damn fast, but then I'd never in my life asked them to hurry for me before. They had me reloaded in less than an hour. I was just climbing up into the cab when a car drove wildly through the gate and raced up to my cab, parking so I was blocked. "Shit," I muttered profoundly, and knew I hadn't been fast enough. Bob was out of the car and beside me before I stepped back down.
"Bert, I was afraid I'd miss you."
He grabbed my upper arm like I might try to run. "You shouldn't have come, Bob," I told him levelly and looked directly down into his eyes to emphasize my decision. "I'm sure you meant well, but I'm just not interested." I patted his back. "No hard feelings. Honest." Bob was shaking his head vigorously, trying to erase everything I was saying. He motioned for the driver of the car to come help him convince me, and I frantically pulled his hand from my arm. "I've got to get rolling. I'm all loaded and booked to Seattle."
"No, Bert. Why'd you go and do that? God damn it."
He looked crestfallen. An extremely well-dressed man appeared beside him. He was no more than 5 feet 4 inches tall, dressed in a beautifully tailored British-style suit that he wore with casual ease. His hair was dark brown, close to black, with a sprinkling of white hair at the temples. His youthful face belied the gray in his hair. Bob threw up his hand as he turned to the man. "He's taken on a load." Then, whirling again toward me, he pleaded again, "Why did you do it, Bert?" "I'm not a pawn, Bob. I'm not going into business, even to please you." My words had embarrassed him terribly. Whatever he had cooking, I had put a monkey wrench into the machinery for sure. "Carl, I'm so sorry," he started apologizing to the man, but the man's eyes were on me, and he was smiling. He reached in his pocket and pulled out his wallet. "I'm Carl Ringgold," he said matter-of-factly. He handed me his card. "I'd appreciate your keeping this card. I have no intentions of buying anything from you, but you may someday need a friend to talk to." I looked down at his serious, handsome face and wished I hadn't been so hasty. "I'll keep it," I said. "Thanks." Bob continued to bluster, but Carl turned him and pushed him firmly toward the car. I climbed into my Kenworth and jabbed the ignition furiously. It caught and roared to life. As they backed out of my way, I moved into the gears and rolled slowly out of the lot. It was going to be a long night. The trip to Seattle was dull, uneventful, and tiring. Only the Northwest's magnificent scenery kept me awake and alert. I thought a lot about the card tucked into my billfold and wondered about the man who had given it to me. I decided it couldn't be legitimate, not with Bob behind it. Somewhere there must be a decent man like me who wants a friend. I picked up a lot of hitchhikers that trip, but none made a pass. I had anticipated the weekend with Bob for several weeks, and I was beginning to really feel the lack. I pulled into Portland and took a cab into the downtown area. I figured a hotel would know how to find what I needed. I had nothing for a bellboy to carry up to my room, but I felt silly as hell walking in the place with Levi's and a t-shirt on. I stood in the doorway of my room for some time before a bellboy happened by, but when he did come by, I couldn't think of what to say, so I let him pass. My heart was pounding like a trip hammer by the time he came back, and by this time I had my own little tough speech all planned. "Kid," I called, and he must have been at least my age. "Yes, sir," he answered coolly, taking in my clothes with disdain. "I need a piece of ass. Know where I can find some?" His sneer curled into a smile. "It'll cost you for the good stuff," he began his bargaining. "I don't give a shit. Where do I go?" I'd been around truck drivers for so many years, so it was no strain once I started playing the part. "Don't go nowhere. I'll send it up to you," he grinned. I reached into my pocket. "How much do I owe you, personal?" I asked. "5 is all, sir," and now he was emphasizing the sir. I handed him the bill, and he palmed it so smoothly that it was like I never felt it leave my hand. 30 minutes later, there was a rap at the door, and I nervously hurried to open it. My kisser dropped a goddamn mile when this babe, female variety, waltzed in. "There's been some kind of a mistake," I stuttered, but she was already heading to the bathroom and didn't hear a word I said. For a minute, I was in a panic, but then I knew I would have to go through with it. I had never had a woman except for Martha, and that certainly wasn't anything to brag about. I wondered if I could feel much with a woman. It would damn sure simplify things if I could. I turned out most of the lights, got out of my clothes, and climbed into bed. I lay there watching the door, wondering. And then the door opened, and out she walked, dressed only in a flimsy wrapper that hid absolutely nothing. By all things Bert Schrader had gleaned from his high school buddies and truck driver friends, this one was really well stacked broad. Her breasts were full and still firm like 2 big Florida grapefruit halves. I suddenly thought of Martha's 2 fried eggs hanging limply on her chest, and I laughed out loud. "What's the matter, sugar?" she asked, and then as she dropped her wrapper and climbed in beside me, she said, "Hey, something is wrong." She took my lip peter in her hand. "That's sure no compliment for a lady." I started to apologize, but her hand now worked down the length of my rod, and she whistled appreciatively. "My God, I don't think I can take all of that," she said. The feel of her hand made my prick finally begin to respond, and as I grew in her practiced grip, she shuddered and moved into my arms. "I'm going to have a ball trying, though," she whispered huskily. I started to climb up on her, as I always did with Martha, but suddenly Bob's words came to me. "Take it easy, fella. Don't push it. Make it last." And I knew that this must be true with a woman as well as a man. Gingerly, I reached for her breasts. She arched them up to me, and I shaped and fondled them in my hands. She shivered appreciatively. Then I began feeling her body, and she liked that too. I could feel her responding, but I could feel little, very, very little myself, except when she worked my cock. She was evidently trying to make it last, too, because she took her hand away, and I immediately began to go soft. Frantically, I remembered Bob in the mirror sucking on my big stick, and old Johnny reared up again, and I now had the formula for keeping a hot with a woman. This gave me a tremendous new confidence. It didn't really change anything, but at least I wouldn't have to admit impotence. I was quite sure, from all I'd heard, that this woman in my arms was putting on an act to get this thing over with, and yet somehow I couldn't buy that completely either. She was laying there, writhing under my caresses, and not really doing a damn thing to help me. This wasn't the way it was supposed to be. My hand, by this time, was exploring her loins. I had never even touched Martha there, and I wondered if she had a special spot like a man has. I moved my hands very slowly over her until suddenly she went rigid and groaned. "Oh, stick me, mister. Stick me now." She spread her legs wide, and I moved up over her. I was very clinical. One part of me marveled at the great act she was putting on when another returned to the mirror and the erotic picture of Bob clinging to my thighs as he sucked the fluid from me. She was reaching down, guiding my prick into her. Then her legs snaked up my thighs as I drove my tool into her depths. Her legs wrapped around me, but I hesitated, waiting for her to cry out or repel me. I was too big for women. I held back. She locked her ankles together and squeezed, pulling her body up to meet mine, and she could take all of me. She did things with her muscles, squeezing, rippling. But if it was meant to finish me off, it was not enough. She could never squeeze my manhood like a man could. I began the slow, calculating plunges into her depths. She ground against my groin with every plunge, and little moans and pants came from her lips as she worked. I began to thrust faster, the friction and her real or pretended excitement now taking over from my visions. As I sounded deeply into her velvety depths, I twisted my Peter in an urgent need for the tightness of the bowel of man. My motion drove her to a wild, pulsing fervor, and she went rigid, her body quaking feverishly against me. Her cave did not satisfy me, but her response, the heady feeling of making a whore quake, made me once again a god, and I spurted out my manhood into her in a shuddering consummation. Then I fell back, relaxed on the bed.
"Lover, you are stupendous," she breathed.
"Thanks," I answered.
"You hit some new spots, places I had never touched before. Wow."
And she jumped up off the bed and headed for the bathroom. "How much?" I called after her.
$25, honey, and I'll give you seconds for free in a minute," she answered over the swish of the water from the tap.
"Thanks anyway, but I'll have to take a rain check on that." I reached for my pants and took out my wallet. I pulled out 3 tens and laid them on the chair. Then I put my wallet under the pillow.
"Aw, come on, honey," she coaxed as she came back into the room. "You can go more than once, and I haven't had a good piece in months."
I looked up at her, standing there, still naked, and I couldn't have cared less. What I'd give for a man right now. But how the hell do you ask for one of them? It'd be too embarrassing, too degrading. What a hell of a mess I was getting my life in. Suddenly I had a thought. Why the hell was I embarrassed in front of a prostitute? "Tell me something," I blurted. "How much did you ask for a male prostitute?" She looked actually shocked for a second or two. Then she sat down on the edge of the bed.
"You're too big for most women. Why, you poor baby. You didn't even want me, did you?"
I shook my head mutely.
"And yet you were too damned sweet to send me backing, and you took the time and trouble to give me a good time."
She rolled over onto the bed beside me and turned her rump up invitingly.
"You usually just ask if any boys are available, honey. I'm no boy, but I owe you this much."
"But you wouldn't want..."
"Shit, I do it all the time. Lots of men won't admit they're homos. They go around screwing the shit out of your ass. Go ahead, honey. Have a piece."
I kneaded her big cheeks and slowly wormed my tool into her bowel. "You don't enjoy this, do you?" I asked against her long, soft hair.
"No, but I still got a glow on me from the last round. Have at it, baby. Quit your fretting."
The delicious tightness squeezed my rod, and I drifted into the sensuous, heavenly world of rapture. I pumped slow and easy, trying to make it last. God, it was good to plunge and plunge and plunge. The pace quickened, and then I was a wild stallion, stabbing at the mare. I hugged her pelvis tight as I stiffened and felt my organ deep within her pulsing out the fluid into her depths. This time I was not just relaxed. I was content, and my body glowed with an after-warmth that bathed my skin in a wave of well-being. "Thank you," I said fervently, and I fell into a deep, satisfying sleep. I never even heard her leave.